Today, we're going to continue with signs of his coming, and we just want to pray and ask God to remind us of those signs we are to look for as we anticipate the return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us wondering, that Jesus gave us his own words of what to look for upon his return. Lord, we're living in some very, very wonderful times, times that the prophets long to look into, Lord, times that those saints that have gone on before us and those martyrs that have gone on before us have been looking forward to for a long time. Amen. The culmination of this era and this age as we enter into a new one. So, Lord, prepare the church, prepare this body in particular for those signs to look for so that we can take appropriate steps of action in evangelism, to take appropriate steps of action in healing and deliverance, to take appropriate steps of action of just comforting people, to let them know that when the world is running amok, that we have the peace that transcends all understanding. And so from your word today, Lord, remind us of what's going on and how we can respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Pam, if you put up the picture of the temple. We're going to move on to the Temple Mount and its relation to end times, okay? Take the old one first. Back when David and Solomon were there, the very first temple of God was destroyed, and they rebuilt it, obviously. But when Solomon built it, it was a sight to behold. I'm not going to go through it all, but if you read about all the inlaid gold and all and how it was made exquisitely. It was made with great expense. It was a place where the Ark of the Covenant would be behind a veil, where the presence of God would go, and only the high priest could enter into once a year to pray for the sins of all the people, to atone for those sins. That's kind of where the Catholic Church got to go into the priest. You go and you sit there into a confessional stuff. That's kind of where that took off from. Of course, you know, Jesus in the New Testament tore the veil. So we want to yell out to those guys, you don't have to go up to the booth anymore. You got the big guy in heaven you can go straight to, okay? You know, I'm not trying to make fun of it or knock it, but I'm just telling you this is where the roots of it came from. This is where it came from. But this temple was where God's presence would reside. And this is where people brought their sins to him and they could be forgiven. And so this temple was magnificent in its day. And the place where the temple is there is on a mount, Mount Moriah. It was a place where this temple was, God told Israel to build. It was originally purchased by David. I don't know if you remember that, but he bought it off, I forget, the Carmelite or somebody, whoever it was who owned it, the threshing floor there. David bought this land and this site, and of course he wanted to build the temple on it, right? But God said, no, your son would build the temple. So Solomon built it on a purchased piece of land that David bought that God instructed him to do. God wanted his temple on Mount Moriah. There was a foreshadowing, if you remember, of Abraham when he took Isaac up on Mount Moriah. That's where it was, and was getting ready to sacrifice his only son on Mount Moriah, his only natural son, you would say, that came from God, and God spoken through Sarah. And this is what happened on that Mount Moriah. It's that same mount that the temple was built. Okay? So I want you to understand that this temple is significant all the way back to Abraham, the father of our faith, a place of God's presence, a place where God would reside, a place where God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will reside once again in a new Jerusalem in the temple, and will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him, right? As his children, right? So that's what that is. The next slide, please. Oh my. The landscape changed. Ownership never did. The only bill of sale ever for this land that has ever been recorded was to David, to the people of Israel. It's been their land, always been that land. God never took it from them. Right now, sitting on that mount where that temple was, is called the Dome of the Rock. And you're going to hear today from me that actually the Jews worshipped in this place before the Muslims ever took it over. This dome sits right in the middle of Israel. You're going to see, and I think I have, and I forgot I had this. If you look at this dome, there is a gate, okay? And it's open, and it should be to be able to get into the gate or to the Jerusalem. That's just one gate. There's a gate here, and you can see it around. Last slide. This gate is closed. Stone, boards on the other side, all kinds of things. You can't get in. You can see it's like part of the wall. No entrance. Brrr. It wasn't like you saw in the previous slide where there was an opening to get in and out of. And in here is a graveyard that was built so that Jesus up here, and if you go whoop, way up here, this is the Mount of Olives. And Jesus is going to walk down that Mount of Olives, and he is going to go through that gate, and no stone, no boards, and no grave is going to keep him from that. Okay? This dome that's built back there of the rock is what we're going to talk about today because it is extremely significant. This dome right here is extremely significant. This, not really the dome, but this Temple Mount where Solomon's temple was originally built, where the rebuilt temple was, and now where this dome temple has been built. And so we will see how this plays out in end times. Most of us understand that Armageddon, right? If you haven't seen the movie, it's not about the movie Armageddon, okay? That's man's version of end times, where the meteor comes and destroys the planet, okay? Bruce Willis has nothing to do with end times. I'm just telling you that, okay? Armageddon, which will be the end time armies marching against the Jews. It says they'll come from the east, right? It'll come from the south, they'll come from the north, and they will what? Encroach upon and move in upon Jerusalem. And there will be a battle on this valley that has enough space to house these end time armies coming in. Been there, we've saw it. Geographically, it is associated with Jerusalem. Most of us can probably guess that this will be an Islamic conflict. I don't think we're going to see the United States going over to attack Israel. I don't think we're going to go see the people in Argentina going over to attack Israel. I believe those that border them, those Islamic states like Iraq and Iran and Russia and China and, you know, all of those states, it's going to be an Islamic conflict. How do we know this? It's been going on ever since Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac, the son of promise. Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael being the Arabs, always been jealous, always wanted to have the priority. And they've been fighting Israel ever since. This is the conflict that's gone on through the ages and will culminate in Armageddon when the Islamics, as well as all those that are against Israel, will converge in this valley of Armageddon to destroy the Jewish people. Okay? This is history. It's also current events, and you can follow it. At the centerpiece of this conflict will be this Temple Mount that we just showed you in Jerusalem. It is the platform in Jerusalem where Herod's temple once sat as well. And of course, I told you Solomon's temple. Today, it's where the Dome of the Rock now sits, and it is an Islamic temple. It is now an Islamic temple. 2 Samuel 24. Verses 18 to 24. So Gad came to David that day and said to him, "Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite." Yeah, I said Carmelite. That was close. Okay. Arunah the Jebusite. David went up according to the word of Gad, just as the Lord had commanded. Arunah looked down and saw the king and his servants crossing over toward him, and Arunah went out and bowed his face to the ground before the king. Foreshadowing, folks. Then Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to do what?
To buy the threshing floor
from you. This was the purchase of that place on Mount Moriah. To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, eventually a temple. An altar to the Lord, that the plague may be held back from the people. Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what is good in his sight. Look, the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. Everything, O king, Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. However, the king said to Araunah, no, because he knew we'd live in today's day where we'd be saying, who bought this place? Who really owns it, right? No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. That's why we offer. Are we going to give to God everything that doesn't cost us anything? Or are we going to give him some sacrificial things as well? So David bought that threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Hence, where the Dome of the Rock sits, had been purchased by David, king of Israel. So he bought it, a place called Mount Moriah, okay, threshing floor at the time, Mount Moriah, from this Araunah the Jebusite. It later became this Temple Mount. This is the only record of an actual purchase of that temple site. Therefore, it belongs to the Hebrew people. Solomon built the temple there, 2 Chronicles 3:1, just to reiterate, so that you know and it's in your spirit and you have this information if people ask you. Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. That one scripture will tell you everything I just preached. It also will give you a good defense. If a Islamic, Arab, whatever, comes up to you and says, it's our land, and we bought it, and we had it, and we did this. Well, just take them to that scripture, and it'll tell you, no, it was given to the Israelites through King David from God, and it has not been transferred since. Okay? It was later destroyed, we all know that, right? The temple that Solomon built, by who? King Nebuchadnezzar. After this, Ezra and Nehemiah came back and rebuilt it. We know that from history. We're not going into any of that. And then Herod expanded it. But it was destroyed again when? In 70 AD. I've preached on this a lot, so it almost should be getting into your spirit on some of the dates even. So it was destroyed again in 70 AD. And what happened then? The Jews were dispersed throughout the world, remember? They were what? Seated. God seated Israel throughout the world. We say that they just got beat up and left. But in God's plan, he took Israel and seated them in every area of the world. 70 AD. Since that time, there's been no further Jewish temples on the Temple Mount. But there are two Islamic mosques. The Muslims teach, now this is what they teach, that no Jewish presence ever existed on the Temple Mount. Archaeology, good for archaeology, since 1967 totally disproves this theory. We know it from history, and if you don't want to accept it by faith through the Bible, which has transcended the ages and it's never made a mistake, okay, let's put that aside. Now let's go to the archaeologists. The archaeologists have proved that the Muslims are wrong, okay? 1967, they found the Watergate, which is in Nehemiah 3:26. The projecting tower in Nehemiah 3:27 and other artifacts they've discovered. The Muslims are now digging underneath this whole area and clearing it out to get rid of any evidence of Jewish presence at all. They're digging underneath this dome. They're digging underneath this whole area and they are getting rid of these things so that they can say that the Jews were never there. I mean, come on, we have to be really ignorant. And we're getting that way. The more I watch the news, the more I think, oh, how ignorant can we be? But you can see how things can go south real fast, no pun intended. There's just this plan of Satan to undermine the Jews And for the Islamic people to get down in there and take all the evidence that proves that God was behind Israel and that was Israel's land, and they're digging it up and they're destroying it and they're getting rid of it. So, the Dome of the Rock now sits on the Temple Mount. It wasn't even originally built by the Muslims. The Arab occupation of Jerusalem came later. The Jews were using the dome, as I said, for their own worship until the Muslims took over all of Jerusalem, and the Jews were no longer permitted on the platform. And that's the way it is today. Even though, sovereignly, the Jews have control over all of Jerusalem. Figure that one out. They are not permitted, as part of what they've conceded to the Muslims, to be allowed on this platform. But then the Crusaders took over and the Jews once again were permitted back on the platform. Okay, here we go. Jews up, Jews down. Jews up, Jews down. Folks, it's gone back and forth through history. Israel is right at the heart of all those Islamic nations. And we know that Israel is the last stronghold that Islam wants to conquer. Remember, Islam is the religion. Islam is the one that wants to see the Jews and Christians annihilated from this planet. They do not recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They think Muhammad is their, you know, guy. And then remember Mahdi? Mahdi's the thing that's supposed to come back and rule and reign, and they are with him. I don't know where they got all this stuff from, but it's out there in the books. And you can, if you have a desire, can read all about it. I don't. I desire to read about Jesus. I don't have to worry. If I look at the real thing, you know, they say, you know, you want to study counterfeit money? Look at the real deal. Study it and know it backwards and forwards, and you'll know every counterfeit that's out there. Study that word. So, these guys have gone back and forth. The conflict, now listen, Islam wants to conquer Israel and Christians. The conflict in the last days will be the Muslims trying to destroy the nation of Israel. And we can certainly see this happening today. They're actually infiltrating the United States of America. I mean, the major conflict's going to happen over there because they're surrounded by all the Arab nations. But those guys, because of planes, trains, and automobiles, are traveling into the United States and anywhere else where Christianity has been set up. You see, you got to see this. It's plain as the nose in your face. The Jews are like a thorn to the Muslims in this region. The Temple Mount is a controversy because all Israel is now under the control of the Jewish people and the Israeli army. I'm going to say that again. All of Israel is now under the control of the Jewish people and the Israeli army. And right dead in the middle of Israel are these two Islamic mosques sitting on the Temple Mount. So the Muslims, listen, the Muslims actually have to go through checkpoints and security to get to these mosques. If you go to Israel today, the Muslims have to go through checkpoints and security to get to the mosques where the Jews are forbidden to go up to be in. So they're guarding the gates. But they're not letting our own people in. Oh, they can. And at times they mandate it and say, look, we're bringing these people in and stuff like that. But when we went there, he said, it's a very tricky situation. He said, I may be able to get you in, I may not. It just depends on the atmosphere at the time. It is very volatile over there, folks, and it still is. It may seem like peace, but there's not. There's an underlying, I want to strangle you and annihilate you and get rid of you mentality that the Islamic people have towards the Jews. You can sense it, you can feel it, but it's kept at peace because Israel still has sovereign control. So, these checkpoints and security that they have to go through, the Muslims hate it. They can't stand having to ask permission to go into their own mosques. I want you to think about that. What if you own something, or let's say you think you own something, and you're worshiping someplace, and you have to go through a checkpoint just to get in from other people who you hate and who you don't think rightfully have the right to be there? Zechariah 12, 1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man with him. Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling. Listen, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, It will also be against Judah. It will come about that in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured. And all the nations of the earth will what? Be gathered against it. There's coming a time, folks, where Jerusalem is going to be the center. Well, it already is the center of attention of the world. But it's going to be the center of attention of those armies that are going to march in from Russia and China and Iraq and Iran and all those countries that simply hate the Jews and hate Christianity and want the wealth that's in Israel with all the oil that's underneath their land right now, with all the gems and stones in the Dead Sea, all of the wealth that Israel holds, all the technology, all of the influence, all of the favor. They're going to get so desperate and desolate that they're all going to converge, come into that place called Armageddon, think that they got Israel by the tail, and at that moment in time, the Lord Jesus Christ will land on the Mount of Olives, the earth will open up, and the blood will rise to the horses' bridles, and he will conquer, and we will be with him, because we'll join him when he hits that time, because it'll be the second coming of Christ, where the dead in Christ will rise first. We will be out of sight, and we will be that army with him that will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Revelation's not tough. It's not tough. During that time, the devil will be bound during that 1,000 years, and God's going to give, as he always does with mercy and grace, one last opportunity for peoples that will be born during those days to come to him, because the government's reign will come from the middle of Jerusalem with Jesus on the throne and us being his ruling body. We're going to be the House of Representatives in the Senate. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! It's going to be just like that, except we're not going to be like them. We're not going to be shifty, and we're not going to go around and doing devious things, and we're not going to try to take Jesus off of the kingship. I don't know where all that came from, but I'm not really political. But what a foreshadowing. What a glorious picture of what's going to happen in the end times. Jerusalem, a burdensome stone. Wow. The Temple Mount is a key sign in these end times. So why? Why is the Temple Mount such a key sign in the end times? Because Scripture says that early part of the tribulation period, in the early part of the tribulation period, there will be a Jewish presence on the top of the mount again. How do I know this? Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see... Now, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the Jews, he's talking to those that are reading the Bible, otherwise it had been in the daily news instead of the Holy Bible, right? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, remember I talked last week? Antiochus Epiphanes, way back thousands of years ago, went into the Jewish temple, and he desecrated it by sacrificing a pig, which the Jews don't do. It was called an abomination to the Jews, an abomination of desolation. It was prophetic to what will once again happen in the Jewish temple that will be rebuilt in the end times. And so Jesus talks about it right now. Therefore, when you see, same language that was used with Antiochus Epiphanes, just forward up a couple of 1,000 years, okay? When you see the abomination, and this is written in Revelation, so we know it's yet future, the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through the prophet Daniel, you can read Daniel and find this, standing in the holy place. Let the reader understand. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. What? The end. Unless the apostasy comes first. Who's the apostasy? It keeps saying it. The man of lawlessness is revealed. So we're not going to see the end until we see the Antichrist revealed, which will happen in the middle of the tribulation when he gets into the temple and he desecrates it and declares himself as God. He is the son of destruction. We know him as the Antichrist. We're going to see it. We're going to be here. There's not going to be 3 returns of Jesus with a secret rapture at the beginning where we're not privy to any of this. Why write it? Why be a part of it? Why would it say these things if we were just gloriously raptured out? And he says to the apostles and the prophets and those that were martyred earlier on, I'm sorry, I just had to get those guys away because they were better than you were. The church is so much better than you were in the beginning. Come on now. They were not spared. We will not be spared either of trial and tribulation. We will not receive God's wrath. They did not receive God's wrath. That's promised, and we will never see God's wrath because we're Christians and we got it made that way. But man, the tribulation, when it heats up, yeah, we're going to be in it. We're going to see it, and this part of it we're going to see. This abomination opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat where? Not the Dome of the Rock that the Muslims own, the Temple of God. So somewhere, sometime, we don't know, between now and the very, very end, we know that this temple's going to be rebuilt, displaying himself as being God. He's going to walk into the Jewish temple that will be a Jewish presence on the mount once again and say that he is God, and that's halfway, so we're making it at least through the middle now. So you know a little bit of a preview of what's coming to Revelation, right? We're at least there in the middle. But we can move on a little further before the wrath, as you'll see. Revelation 11:1. Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Revelation, we're ahead. We're beyond the Dome of the Rock. We're in a new Jewish temple. And you're going to read here in a minute how that's already being prepared. These three scriptures indicate the Temple Mount will once again come under the dominion of Jewish people. Some theologians believe Elijah will be the one who gets the temple, will help to get the temple built there. You know, there's going to be a couple of witnesses that come back and get this revival started. Hopefully the church will get it started, and the witnesses will just add to that, right? Because of the signs and wonders that he performs. There's going to be a couple of witnesses that are going to do all kinds of signs and wonders when they come back. And at that time of dedication of this temple, this new temple, the Antichrist will invade Jerusalem and take over the Temple Mount, setting himself up as God, as we just saw there in Revelation 13 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Daniel 9:27 talks about a treaty that this Antichrist makes for 7 years. This is where we get, quote, the Great Tribulation. Folks, we've been in tribulation since Jesus left. The Great Tribulation is a period of 7 years at the end of the tribulation that we're currently in. So it's just the last 7 years. And what everybody wants to know is when during this tribulation, the greatest part of the tribulation, does the church get, quote, hooked up with Jesus? The term rapture is not even the Bible. It's being caught up. That's what rapture means. We're caught up with Jesus in the clouds. That's the second coming, folks. The rapture and the second coming are the same thing. We're caught up to Jesus in the clouds to rule and reign with him forever. Okay? So the Temple Mount comes under the dominion of the Jewish people. And this occurs. The signs and wonders start happening, and then the Antichrist moves in. Now, this treaty happens halfway through it, and he stops every bit of the sacrifices. So that means they had to start doing sacrifices again. So for 3.5 years, this temple does not function. Now, remember, all this was, this is what theologians have debated for centuries. And you can get almost every preacher on the radio to get a different story of what's pre, middle, or post-tribulation and what's going to happen and Revelation and all kinds of, podcasts, and you'll get more confused than ever. Stick to the Word. Now, remember, all this is what theologians have debated. But what we do know is this. Okay, here's the facts. A temple will be there on the Temple Mount according to the Word of God. Okay? If you believe that we're here, not here, whatever, it doesn't matter. There will be a Jewish temple on that mount. There are currently 10 small organizations involved in researching the planning and preparing of a future Jewish temple, including the animal sacrifices. I'm going to say that again. There's currently 10 small organizations in Israel involved in researching the preparing and planning of a future Jewish temple, including the animal sacrifices. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem has rebuilt copies of many of the temple articles. One of the rabbis in Jerusalem, Rabbi Getz, believes he knows where the Ark of the Covenant is located. We found that out as well through some archaeology, where they think that the Ark of the Covenant is located. He supposedly saw it through a crack in a wall in 1981. We also know of that because there was one of those colonoscopy scopes or whatever we have today. I don't know what they call them. They stuck through the wall to see this ark. Of course, they didn't take it out. Why? Well, I think I even wrote it down right here. It says here, so why didn't they go get it? Because they know it would start another war. They're waiting for the proper time in the rebuilding of this temple to get the ark. Okay? So, it's safer hidden under the Temple Mount. But Israel does have plans that will be used to rebuild this temple. They have already have the names of men that could serve as priests. They have gone as far as checking the DNA in their lineage to make sure that it replicates exactly what the Bible says. Fascinating. Folks, even the Arabs believe that the Jews will one day attempt to rebuild the temple. The now deceased, everybody remember Yasser Arafat? In Indonesia, held a picture of a model of a Jewish temple with the Dome of the Rock removed. And he said this, "This will happen one day." He later spoke up and said, "We have to do something to keep the Jews from building a temple on that mount." Right now, however, there's only a small percentage of Jews living in Israel that would even be interested in a temple being built on that temple mount. It's secular. It's not like the whole country is interested in this. Many are agnostics and many are atheists, unfortunately. Hence why we need to really support the Messianic Jews that are getting that word out. Because it's going to bring in Jesus much quicker. So obviously God's about to move. Listen, God is about to move spiritually in the midst of this nation, and hopefully ours, if we continue to support Israel. If that is going to be rebuilt, and because there's a lot of agnostics and atheists over there, there is about to be a revival in Israel for this thing to get rebuilt. And I pray that because who God has in office now, that there will be a revival in the United States of America, and we too will receive God's blessing. We've got to have people that are in office, no matter what their names are and what parties they represent or whoever they may be, that are appointed and anointed by God to stimulate revival in not only America, but over in Israel. You're reading things about Netanyahu now. He's involved with some of these things, and it's disappointing and stuff like that. God's in control, okay? He's still in control, even though, you know, all this is happening and corruption is happening even amongst the leaders. Whether there's corruption in the United States, whether there's corruption in Israel, God knows. When you look through the book of Kings, you'll see one king was good and one king was bad, and one king was terrible and one king was great. God was in control of it all, moving through history. He can still use an idiot. He can still use a donkey. He can still use me. He can still use you. Yeah, don't leave you out of that either. There is about to be a spiritual awakening of this nation. And I believe there's going to be an awakening in our nation if we support Israel as well. All these prophecies that at one time people mocked are actually coming to pass. It's time to get prepared for the return of our Lord. Amen. Amen.